This is the Employment Law Show.
Well, look at that. We made it to Thursday. We're ready to go over the next half hour and make you smarter when it comes to workplace rights, employment laws. That's what we dish out here every night of the week. Monday to Thursday, John Scholes, Mackenzie Irwin is in the hot seat tonight here from Samfiru to Mark and LLP. She's got all the answers to your questions. So hopefully you brought some on through email. If we get time to get to those, we will. Main topic, is my employer allowed to? We'll go through a bunch of those. They're allowed to do this. They're allowed to do that. So listen up for that as the half hour progresses. But we always start off with some sort of case of the day. Mackenzie, what do you got going on, kiddo?
Yeah, I spoke to a gentleman this week who is in a pretty interesting situation where, he's 54 years old. He's been working for his employer for 12 years, and he's been working as their office manager. Now, about 8 months ago, he went on a medical leave due to some medical issues he was experiencing, and he was lucky enough to have access to long-term disability benefits. And so he's on these benefits, and then all of a sudden in mid-April, his benefits provider calls him and advises him that they're going to be cutting off his benefits in the next week, so in mid-April. The issue with this is that at the time, his doctor had not yet approved for him to return to work. So all of his medical documentation suggested that he was unable to go back to work. So obviously, if your benefits are getting cut off, he was feeling this immense pressure to return to work against his doctor's advice. But he knew that, you know, deep down he wasn't well enough to go back, and in fact going back was likely going to make his condition worse. His benefits got cut off, and his employer told him, advised the employer that he no longer qualified for his benefits. And the employer told him that he needed to return to work, or else, if he refused to return to work by a specific date, that they were going to end his employment because they were claiming that he would have abandoned his job. Him. Exactly. Yeah. So it's a classic tactic that we see some employers use to get rid of some of these employees who are on medical leave. And he wrote back to his employer. He told them that his doctor had confirmed that he was not well enough to return to work yet. As he suspected, his doctor agreed if he were to return to work, it would actually likely make his condition worse. He even provided his employer with an updated medical note to support this. You know, even with this information, the employer still followed through, and when he didn't return to work, they terminated his employment, and they were they're claiming job abandonment, and they did that last week. So unfortunately, I do see that this happens. Sometimes it's not necessarily that the employer is doing it maliciously. Sometimes they truly believe that this is job abandonment, but this is absolutely not job abandonment, especially when you have that medical note from your doctor saying that you're just not able to return to work.
Right.
I think it's really, really important that people understand that if your doctor agrees that you're not able to work, that you should not be working, and your employer cannot force you to work against your doctor's recommendations. So this gentleman did exactly the right thing. He called me up, not only is he owed pretty significant severance because he's been there for 12 years, but this is also likely a human rights violation. So in a situation like this, from the employer's perspective, if you're confronted with an employee who is giving you this medical documentation that they're not able to work, all you need to do, even if they've been cut off their LTD benefits, if you get that medical note, you must respect that medical note. And so all you need to do is just issue an ROE that your employee is now on a medical leave of absence, and that medical leave is unpaid. So really important that you, that employers understand this is not a scenario where you can force your employee to come to work. You have to kind of abide by that medical note.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when, as you were carrying on through the story, I kind of knew where it was going, because quite often we see that, you know, somebody is on long-term disability benefits, and then they get cut off their benefit for whatever reason. It could be near the two-year mark, which is very common, or otherwise. And then the employer gets word of that, and the employer thinks, oh, well, if you've been cut off LTD, that's, you know, that means the same for us. You got to come back to work. Those things are not in lockstep. They are mutually exclusive, and employers screw that up all the time. You getting cut off your benefit doesn't mean that you can necessarily go back to work. To your point, if your medical team, your doctor says, no, you are not ready, then you know, the other half of the firm, of course, that you deal with, Mackenzie, is the disability side. Then you take that to task and deal with the long-term disability insurer. But as far as the employment concerns, just because you're off disability or got put on, you know, got booted off claim, doesn't mean you have to go back to work, right?
Absolutely. And I should have mentioned it at the outset. I've also connected him with our disability team, and they're going to help him in terms of getting him reestablished onto his LTD benefits. Because certainly if your doctor and your medical team agrees that you're not mm-hmm. able to work, you're entitled to those benefits. So we're going to help them out both on the employment side here and on the disability side, which is just a really unique, great feature of our firm that we're able to address both of those in the same go.
Yeah, I mean, it does come in handy in situations just like this that you've illustrated, for sure. Let's get into our one and only break for the night, give you time to just relax, settle in, grab a phone. If you have any questions about your job or place of employment, employer, employee, doesn't matter. We continue. Thursday night edition, Employment Law Show rolls on. Hang in there.
Welcome back to the Employment Law Show.
You sure are. And join us. You got time. We got Jeff on the line, just getting him through. And you can join as well. By the way, reaching out to Mackenzie anytime is also an option to you. And if you want to email, it's help@employmentlawyer.ca, help@employmentlawyer.ca. And outside this half hour of the show, Mackenzie, reachable, and her team, 1-855-821-5900. Keep that with you. Okay, before we get our calls on the air here, Roland, Mackenzie, let's get into a bit of our topic for this evening. If my is my employer allowed to, we kind of know this one if you listen to this show, lay me off temporarily. Tackle that one off the top, Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was a big one throughout the pandemic. Lots of temporary layoffs going on out there. And certainly, I think what's important to note here is that your employer doesn't have an automatic right to place you on a temporary layoff. In order to place you on a temporary layoff and be able to do that, your employer has to either have a term in your employment contract that says that they have the right to place you on a temporary layoff, or your consent to being placed on that temporary layoff. So they had you sign something before placing you on the layoff saying, I agree to being placed on this layoff. Or you work in an industry where temporary layoffs are common and regular. And so if you don't fall into any of those categories and your employer is placing you on a temporary layoff, it's likely a constructive dismissal and you're entitled to severance. It's essentially a termination as opposed to a temporary layoff. And so in those scenarios, you're allowed to treat that as a termination and pursue your full severance. It's always worthwhile, if you've been placed on a temporary layoff, having an employment lawyer review it. Yeah. Because there's certain situations where you would be still entitled to severance.
All right, let's switch over, grab our first call for the evening. Jeff, thank you for standing by for a moment. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, as I was explaining earlier, I'm a contract worker and approaching 78 years old. And I've been working for 23 years for a business, and I have no benefits at all. However, what happened here was during COVID, I contracted COVID, and it turned into pneumonia.
Mm.
Now I hardly took I took very little time off of work because I was working with a respirologist at the hospital, the reason why I got this in the first place, and I believe the COVID, is the building where I work, it's called the Department of Refugee and something status.
Okay.
Anyway, they turned it into a clinic, a vaccination clinic, and then this is after 20 years of working and not dealing with anything like this. I had to clean up after the sessions that they had. More recently, I got COVID again, and once again it turned into pneumonia. I've taken my medication again, and it's helping quite a bit.
So what
my doctor believes that I should be off of work for a couple of months to get my immune system back in order.
What's your question, Jeff? What's going on? What do you basically need to know?
Do they need to pay me while I'm gone, or if they let me go, would I
get severance or whatever?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So they don't need to pay you while you're gone, but they certainly should be issuing a record of employment for you so that you're able to access employment sickness benefits. So employment insurance. So they would issue an ROE saying that you're on a medical leave of absence, and you'd be able to access the EI sickness benefits. If they terminate your employment, Jeff, you're absolutely entitled to severance, you're entitled to pretty significant severance given how long you've been working there and the fact that you're 78 years old. So if that happens, absolutely give me a call and we can chat in more detail about what that severance package would look like, but you're absolutely entitled to severance.
Wow, that's great. That's good to hear.
Yeah, no worries, Jeff. Just reach out a little later on to Mackenzie. I'll give you the number. I'll repeat it throughout the show, of course, but 1-855-821-5900 is how you do that, or help at employmentlawyer.ca. But in the meantime, back to the topic of the night. Mackenzie, is my employer allowed to reassign all my direct reports to another manager? What's that about?
Yeah, so this is a very interesting scenario. So your employer is allowed to reassign your direct reports to another manager, but if in doing so, they are significantly changing the duties and responsibilities of your position. So you go from, let's say, for example, you go from managing five different employees to managing no employees, and now your position is no longer a management position, then that is very likely a constructive dismissal, and you can treat that as a termination and pursue your severance. So it's a bit of a nuanced answer, but if your employer can certainly reassign your direct reports, but if that if in doing so, and if that action is a substantial change to your position, then you're looking at likely a constructive dismissal.
It's an interesting, I mean, that one might not come up a whole ton of time, but it's good to know that it's available to get an answer for that. How about this one? This one we hear at one point, this was really big. I'm not sure why, but is my employer allowed to make me take a drug test? Is this job specific?
Absolutely. So this is going to depend on a variety of factors, certainly in terms of what your position is. But one of the things that you're going to want to consider if your employer is allowed to do this is oftentimes if your position is unionized, your collective agreement will determine whether your employer has the right to drug test you and when. But certainly in terms of the employment context, If you work in a very safe, if a safety conscious position, so a safety, you're, let's say, for example, you're a machine operator or what have you. And, there are scenarios in regards to those, safety conscious positions where your employer may be able to have you take a drug test. The important thing I think to note here is that if you've been terminated because of the results of a drug test, oftentimes what I see when this comes up, when people are talking to me, it's usually that they've been terminated because they failed a drug test, and they've been terminated for cause for failing that drug test. So their employer hasn't provided them with any severance. Those are scenarios where you really do need to give me a call, because it's so situationally specific, yeah. But more times than not, you are still entitled to severance. And so certainly something that you're going to want to have reviewed, because you could be walking away from up to 24 months of pay if you're just going to accept your employer at their word and when they're claiming that they can terminate you for cause for the results of a drug test.
What we're talking about tonight is, is my employer allowed to do these things? How about fire me and provide me with only working notice? I'm sensing some math coming up here.
Yeah, this one is usually quite shocking to people. Your employer can provide you with working notice. It'll depend, and yes, there's math involved in terms of how large your employer is. There are certain employers where if you've been working there for longer than 5 years, they can't provide all of your severance through working notice, but certainly your employer is entitled to give you at least a portion of your severance by way of working notice. So people call me sometimes and they've been given, they don't want to continue working after they've been fired. Yeah. Who does? And they're quite shocked to hear that, yes, you know, you do have to continue throughout that working notice period. And at the end of that working notice period, you're likely entitled to that lump sum for the portion of your severance entitlements that can only be paid out via lump sum.
It's usually not that much. I mean, if someone's owed, you know, 18 months severance, I mean, most employers they're not going to put you on working notice for 18 months, because it's you know, the chance of you coming to work and doing a full job and there's bad blood, so on and so forth, it really doesn't go that long often, I guess, in your history of seeing these things go down, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's usually only a matter of a couple weeks, maybe a month maximum, but certainly it is surprising when I've come across people who have been given working notice, because you're exactly right. You know, so someone who's been terminated and forced to come into work still, they're not going to contribute positively to, you know, the office morale. So it's an interesting move when employers do give that working notice, but they are entitled to do it.
There you go on that one. We're going to keep rolling here. Again, if you're going to make that phone call, bring it on now. You still got some minutes. 416-870-6400 is how you do that. Is my employer allowed to force me to sign a new employment contract? I guess this is if you're in mid-employment, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this is when and people come to me with these questions where they've already been working for their employer for a specific amount of time, and their employer comes to them and say, oh, you know, we're trying to update our HR records and we need everybody to sign new employment contracts. We're just trying to update everything. Your employer can absolutely not force you to sign a new employment contract if you've already been working there. I think it should be a red flag to anyone who's being asked to sign a new employment contract, yeah, that you're going to want to have that contract reviewed, because I think everyone should know employment contracts are really only there to benefit your employer. And so if your employer is asking you to sign a new contract, they're asking you to agree to new terms that are really likely only there to benefit the employer. So you should have that reviewed, make sure you understand what you're signing and and knowing that you have no obligation to sign it. You can simply say, you know, I'm not interested in signing a new contract. I really love my job the way it is. I'd like to just continue on in under the current terms of my employment, and your employer has to either take that or leave it.
And if they leave it and they let you go, you're okay because you're protected by your full severance because you did not sign that that thing anyway, right? So it's really not a losing situation.
Yeah, exactly. You could be the difference of limiting yourself to 8 weeks of notice versus up to 24 months. So it could be a huge change that you're agreeing to, and you might not necessarily know it.
Let's get Joe on the line here. Got a couple minutes till we wrap up. Joe, what's going on with you?
Hi, I have a friend who had knee surgery, and she's on short term. She's got 15 weeks of short term. And the doctors basically said, you know, you have to be off for another 8 weeks. But the insurance company and the employer are, I guess, pressuring her to go back to work before that. And I'm wondering if it's normal and if the insurance company is really the one to assess if she can go back to work or not.
No, so your friend's doctor is the one who's in the best position to assess whether your friend is able to go back to work. And so if the company and the insurer are pressuring her to go back to work, all she really needs to do is make sure that she's submitting proper medical documentation from her treating doctors, confirming that she's not able to go back to work in any capacity until 8 weeks from now. And then her short-term disability benefits should continue, or she could be transitioned on to long-term disability benefits.
Okay, perfect. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No problem, Joe. Our pleasure. Just clearing that up for you. Yeah, just to reiterate before we move on here and eventually wrap up for the night. It's your medical team. They are the gatekeepers of your health. They have yay or nay whether you're allowed to go back to work. It's not your employer. It's not your insurance company. It's not your broker, your adjuster. It's your doctors and your team. Say if you need to be off work, you are off work. It's just that simple, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Your treating physician is in the best possible position to understand exactly what your medical restrictions are, what you can and can't do. And so they're in the hot seat. They need to be the ones who are making that decision.
And with that, we're going to wrap it up for the night. Thank you, Mackenzie. As always, phenomenal job. Appreciate the phone calls we had. You want to carry on the conversation now? You are encouraged to do so with Mackenzie. How do you do that? Just like this, 1-855-821-5900. Again, 1-855-821-5900. Help at employmentlawyer.ca. Any other matters, concerns, and access to what we call the severance pay calculator, that can be had at pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. We'll catch you next time in the Employment Law Show. Enjoy the rest of your night.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.